Dane Wigington of geoengineeringwatch.org joins us today to discuss some of the effects of these manufactured weather events that are happening all over the world. You see the skies, they're filled with lines and strange cloud formations. Even the mainstream media reported on it recently in Australia saying, wow, stunning cloud formation. This clearly was not natural. Dane says the way that we're messing with our weather is about to cause complete destruction of crops, food shortages. He says we may not even be able to last past 2025, so it's important information. Everyone needs to pay attention to the war in our skies. It's really happening. And Dane will be joining us in just one moment, but before we go on, a quick word from the sponsors of this show, our friends at Gold Co. The last time the economy looked this bad, the stock market tanked. The economy collapsed and inflation hit record highs. But at the same time, the price of gold shot up 1,300%. It could happen again. Can you afford to miss what could be the biggest gold and silver boom of our generation? Not to mention, precious metals can potentially safeguard your future with tangible assets rather than just digits on your bank manager's screen, which could disappear at the press of a button. Visit the link in the description below or call 855-913-0814. That's 855-913-0814 to protect your retirement savings and get up to $10,000 in free silver. This offer is exclusive to the United States. So if you're in the US, call and protect your wealth today. Dane, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your time. We know how busy you are, but you always make time to come on with me. And for that, I'm grateful.
It's a team effort, and without voices like yours, very exceptional voice and a greatly followed voice, we would not be able to get the data out and to give people the puzzle pieces they need to form a picture. So it's a team effort, Maria.
I agree with you, and I appreciate you saying that. So we've got a number of different topics that we want to cover today in the geoengineering realm, but I've asked you to come on specifically first and foremost to talk about what's happening in Australia. We are being drowned. We're being told that this is La Nina. We're being told that it's, because of climate change. No weather modification necessarily involved. That's a conspiracy theory. I also want to go into what's happening in California and then another conversation about how we actually do end up investigating the geoengineering. But if you don't mind, let's start with Australia, because they're now offering these buyback schemes, Dane, for all of the property that's been destroyed. And I want to know from you, from what you've been analyzing, are they actually doing this to us?
There's no question. This is not nature. It's not natural in any sense. In regard to the triple La Nina that's happening now, it's imperative to understand the degree of sway that they have over the climate system. The climate engineers, via the use of ionosphere heaters like HARP, of which there's about 100 of those facilities around the globe, and they work in unison in many ways. And these are directional transmissions. In the case of HARP, they can bounce a signal off the now reflective atmosphere into various regions around the globe. And then again, we add the other 90 plus transmitters. And in regard to ocean currents, ocean temperatures, La Nina, El Nino, the climate engineers can actually control a phenomenon on that scale. How do they do that? By creating and manipulating atmospheric pressure zones, they can manipulate upper level wind currents, which in turn can manipulate ocean currents, which subsequently can cause upwelling in the oceans where they want it to happen. And that can cause surface cooling, which fuels and feeds the La Nina scenario. And they want to continue the La Nina because that helps to bottle up the heat in the oceans and mask it from the public for a little bit longer. It also facilitates the type of weather scenario that we see in Australia that's being used to crush crops. It is far too consistent to not be a part of the agenda and the objective, because even if there was a natural La Nina pattern, again, this is not a natural pattern. They're manipulating wind currents, thus ocean currents, and thus La Nina, El Nino. But even if this was a natural scenario, the climate engineers absolutely control the spigot. They could completely disperse the low pressure systems that are creating these constant deluges. There is absolutely no question that climate engineering is core to this equation. We can speculate on all the agendas and objectives being carried out, but the fact that this is not nature, not natural, a part of the climate intervention operations, that is beyond question.
So, okay, explain to us the difference between what you would see with a natural La Nina. I mean, I think you just touched on it, but I'd like more information. A natural occurrence of La Nina and a manufactured occurrence of La Nina.
In regard to any natural, the ENSO pattern, which is La Nina, El Nino, we can't at this point know how far back we would have to go before we could consider either phase of that scenario natural, because the climate has been intervened with for so long. In regard to, for example, if we look at the Western North American continent, and this is an example that's more definitive, if you will, by them keeping the constant high pressure dome over our region, the high pressure heat dome, it's referred to as the ridiculously resilient ridge. And there's what they call the blob, the hot zone off the northwest coast where the ionosphere heater heat dome is concentrated. And that completely changes the upper level wind patterns. It creates an offshore flow. It keeps any moisture from coming on shore. And that begins to affect then the ocean currents, forcing them back out away from the land, again, offshore flow. And that can start to affect larger patterns like the ENSO pattern, which is the La Nina, El Nino. So El Nino. So again, the same thing in Australia, as they use high pressure heat domes to alter the upper level wind currents, which immediately affects ocean currents. And when they keep some of these pressure zones in place, it changes the entire ocean circulation. And so again, the degree to which they are interfering with the planet's natural life support systems is almost incomprehensible. So as far as what would be a natural pattern, Maria, we would have to go back decades. And because all the data is skewed, we couldn't really make such a definitive conclusion without having climate engineering completely out of the equation. The equation is now completely tainted and has been for decades. But because it's tainted, because everything is affected, because climate engineering is global, we can say definitively there is no natural weather at this point. I want that to be clear. That doesn't mean you might not see a natural cloud or have a natural thunderstorm somewhere as an isolated incident, but would that storm have occurred in that place at that time if the climate system had not been intervened with on a global scale for 75 years? And the answer is no. You cannot say that that weather event, whatever it may be, would have happened at that place at that time without climate intervention operations intervening and disrupting the system.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And the fact that we can't even pinpoint what is natural, what isn't anymore, purely based on the fact that, yes, as you said, they've been doing this for so long that something that they did over here could influence something over there, even if, as you said, regular clouds or regular weather events may be altered because of an action over here. And that's the reality of what we're dealing with. There aren't just isolated weather control or weather manipulation events here and there. This is happening everywhere, every country. I've just had a friend return from Europe. She said she saw chemtrails all over the skies over there as well. It's the same everywhere that you go. And it's so disturbing that they're able to do this to us, because weather is such a powerful force. It's not, you and I have said this multiple times, it's not something that I can control. I can control not putting an injection into my body. I can't control what I'm breathing outdoors, lest I walk around with, I don't know, a nuclear gas mask on, for goodness sake. And I mean, is that where we're at? Is that essentially, Dane, we're going to have to start walking around with those masks on? I mean, seriously.
I would encourage your listeners, I think we may have brought this up before, but for those that haven't done it yet, I would encourage them to take the brightest flashlight they can find on a dark night and go outside, especially if there's aerosol operations and the air is less than clear. Aim that light straight up into the sky and look straight up through the beam. You have to put your head right by the light beam with a flashlight and look straight up through the beam, and it looks like a blizzard is occurring. There is so much particulate matter coming down that cannot be seen during the daytime. And we're breathing all of that. Again, statistically, scientifically, those particles are so small that by science calculations, we may be inhaling as many as 20 million nanoparticles in a single breath. Try to imagine that. Larger particles, up to 2.5 microns, scientifically, it is believed that we are inhaling at least 220 million a day. I would argue those statistics are very conservative. And that's an incomprehensible amount of these toxic materials. So the fact that it's disrupting weather, disrupting the hydrological cycle completely, destroying crops via deluge or drought, it's also killing us. It's killing the entire web of life. It's killing the soil microbiome. It's killing plankton because it's destroying the ozone layer, and the incredibly intense UV radiation is frying the plankton as they try to photosynthesize in the upper layers of the water column. Further, we know because of the decimated ozone layer that radically affects photosynthesis by itself. In addition to the blocking of direct sunlight by the particles, the UV radiation causes DNA damage in leaves, all forms of flora. We're seeing mutated organisms in the forest now. It's happening in the food chain as well. This is an all-out assault against the entire web of life. And that's if they don't add something much more lethal to the mix than it already is. The elements we already know of, aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, polymer fibers, graphene, all highly toxic by themselves. When you combine them, we have synergistic toxicity, so they become much more lethal. But in the case of polymer fibers and graphene, those are used with biowarfare as a pathogen carrier, as a biological carrier platform. So why wouldn't they use this? Is they're losing control of the narrative? Is they're losing control of populations? Why would we think that they wouldn't put something like Marburg or Ebola, something much more lethal, and we're done overnight? So geoengineeringwatch.org is focused on this issue so specifically because if we don't deal with this, all other causes will become moot. The planet's life support systems will fail. Our health will be completely compromised, if not a lethal exposure on top of that. Game over. And we can't hide from this, as you correctly stated. We have to deal with what's happening in our skies or nothing else will matter, Maria.
I'm just bringing up the website geoengineeringwatch.org for everyone who hasn't seen it yet. I've previously promoted the documentary, The Dimming. Very important for everyone to watch. In fact, it's even on our website. That's how important it is. I recommend everyone go onto this website. It is an incredibly comprehensive collection of Dane's research, of everything that's happening around the world. So when you say they're flooding us, okay, they're also causing droughts elsewhere at the same time. This is not a known fact. I want to ask you, though, because recently I interviewed an Australian senator. He's opened an invitation for the public to supply him with evidence so that he can then go and investigate this in Parliament. So as part of that invitation, he's asked for quite a comprehensive list of things for members of the general public to obtain, such as potentially photos or evidence of the materials being loaded onto these planes. Evidence that that's actually what they're doing. It's not possible, Dane. And like I've said before, you know, I'll look at flight radar, for example, as I'm seeing a plane flying above me. I'll go onto who that is responsible for that plane. Just so happens to be an organization that's aligned with United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. You know, 2030, we're all in this together nonsense. All in this together to kill the population off, more like it. But anyway, but there's no evidence that they're actually doing this. How would a member of the general public possibly obtain this evidence?
It's not possible. And the elected official you mentioned is simply a coward that is taking a coward's way out, trying to give you requirements that cannot be fulfilled. And as we briefly discussed off air, this would be equivalent to having film footage of a murder taking place and the assailant on film on the record, but having a police officer tell you, unless you can give him the assailant's name, their address, their birth date, their social security number, how long they lived in a certain residence, their every single statistic you could imagine about that murder, that would be like a policeman telling you, unless you can give him that, then no murder occurred, even though it's on film, on the record. And the same is true with geoengineering. When we have satellite imagery that absolutely shows these programs blocking rain in some regions like the Western US, augmenting precipitation in other regions like Australia, when we have up close photographs of the nozzles, retrofit nozzles mounted on the wing pylons aimed into the exhaust jet stream to make this look like, quote, condensation, when we have up close film footage of these aircraft at altitude with the nozzles visible turning on and off, when we have lab tests from all over the world with climate engineering elements in the precipitation, we tested at altitude with a NOAA flying lab that we went to great effort and expense to acquire. When we have Senate documents, 800 pages long, acknowledging these programs, presidential documents, we have all this and much, much more. And this individual is not willing to look at that unless you serve him up data that's not possible for a citizen to acquire, unless you serve that to him on a silver platter. This individual is not sincere. He has no intention of investigating this issue. And he gave a list of requirements that are impossible to fill so that he would never have to follow through with anything. And we see it in the US all the time, the same sort of smokescreen put up by so-called elected officials that are simply pretending to care when they absolutely don't.
Crucial, crucial information that applies to everyone on Earth right there from Dane. We'll be right back after this short break and a quick word from our sponsors at Earth Echo Foods. This broadcast is brought to you by sponsors of the Stu Peters Network, Danette May and Mindful Health LLC, with Danette May's top superfood product from her Earth Echo Foods line, Cocoa Bliss. Nothing feels better than being able to enjoy rich, smooth, creamy chocolate and knowing that you're doing something good for your body. They use 100% organic cocoa beans that are naturally kissed by the sun, maintaining their miraculous health benefits. They then blend it with turmeric, MCT oil, coconut, Himalayan sea salt, cinnamon, and black pepper for the perfect blend. The result? A truly decadent, healthy, guilt-free chocolate which can remove your cravings, facilitate weight loss, boost your energy, and reduce inflammation with one simple drink. Not only that, it's also friendly to paleo, gluten-free, keto, vegan, and vegetarian diets. For the last 8 years, they've been a leader in the superfoods market and have served millions of customers worldwide. Get your money out of big chain products and switch to businesses that support independent media to keep getting the truth out. Available in the United States and in Australia, click the link in the description below and use promo code Maria for 15% off your order today. Just on a side note, but related, how would we, I mean, you've obviously been involved in this, raising awareness around this for a very long time. How have you approached elected officials in the past to try and get them to investigate? Perhaps we could learn from your approach and maybe we could encourage this particular senator to start the investigation himself.
The only way to have any chance of making any progress with any elected official is to have an email thread to them with perhaps 100 or 200 other activists on that thread, serving them up data like that which we present in the DIMI, that is top scientists in a National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration flying lab at altitude, sampling, processing in one of the world's most recognized laboratories in the US. This is Rensselaer Polytechnic. And to present data like that, including film footage again of the aircraft spraying, nozzles visible, so that everybody can see that conversation, so that that elected official knows that he will be held accountable by at least the people on that list. And that's the only way to make any progress with these people, to publicly expose them in that manner, because otherwise they will absolutely not address this issue. Let me give an example. We have in Northern California, US Congressman Doug LaMalfa. And I've had about a half a dozen meetings with Congressman LaMalfa. His staff at one time would call me at home on the weekends to express their angst at the sprayed skies because they absolutely knew what was happening here. I was told by a staff member, they got a call from up the ladder to leave this issue alone. And that's exactly what they did. They have publicly denied it ever since. They have not reversed their position. Even in the case of Mr. LaMalfa, Congressman LaMalfa, who I have informed going back 7-8 years, if these programs were allowed to continue, the drought in California would be unprecedented. It would wreak havoc on crop production, forests, would cause forest fires. Everything I told Congressman LaMalfa has happened. And yet he refuses now to acknowledge any of it. And he pretends that if we keep electing him, that he'll make sure we have enough water. They propose raising Shasta Dam, the second largest dam in the country, which is in my backyard, Lake Shasta is. And my public question to Mr. LaMalfa is, what good would it do to raise a dam that you can't even fill in at its current height? It's ludicrous. These people do and say whatever they're told, Maria. They're like puppets with a string in the back of their head, and the powers that be pull that string and they say what they're told. So again, the only way is to publicly expose these people and the fact that they have been given data, credible data, that they have not responded to.
Well, look, from what I know and my discussions with this particular senator, all that he's received are photos of chemtrails. Now, whether that's accurate or not, I don't have access to his personal emails. I'm certainly willing to work with him if we are able to get the public, to put more pressure on. The fact that, look, Dane, I appreciate the fact that he's even had the guts to mention this in public, that he's willing to look at it if he has the evidence. But I do appreciate that what he's asked for is truly impossible for members of the general public to get. But you know, if for the Aussies that are watching this now, get a group of you together, start getting email trails. You know who we're talking about. Start getting those email trails happening and demand answers. Demand answers, I should say. Okay, so let's talk about what's happening. Actually, before we get there, Dane, if you don't mind, I just want to focus again on Australia. If we keep doing this, because you mentioned they're destroying our crops, if we keep doing this with the flooding absolutely everything, what is going to be the impact on our crops? We know we've already had issues with farmers all around the country. Certain items, $12 for a head of lettuce, one farmer told me it was due to flooding. What is going to happen with the rest of our crops if they continue to do this to us? Because they're saying we can expect it until next year.
It's already happening. The crop loss in Australia is already being considered catastrophic from the deluges. And on the reverse side of that, the same is true in the Western US and California because of the epic drought. So the crop losses are off the scale. It hasn't completely hit the food store shelves yet in full force, but that's coming. And if I could back up one more point with activists that are trying to hold their elected officials accountable.
Yes.
We're playing chess. We need to learn how to play effectively and efficiently. It is imperative to use the climate science terms. The chemtrails term is the immediate marginalization term. If you use that with an elected official, you won't get far if you get anywhere at all. Same is true with media. You have to use and stick to the science terms. If they throw the chemtrails term at you, I would suggest saying you don't recognize or acknowledge that term. That term is not a scientific term. You're dealing with science and you want them to deal with science. So don't give them a handle with which they can marginalize you. Climate engineering, solar radiation management, stratospheric aerosol injection. Again, we're playing chess. We need to play effectively and efficiently. So their attempt to duck this by the methods you outlined, absolutely common to be expected. Media will do the same. Stick to the science terms, you'll gain much more ground and pass on credible, solid data. We try to provide that at geoengineeringwatch.org. People can download some of these documents I mentioned. They can certainly send links to the film footage. And there should be a confrontation in one of these peaceful confrontations, let me say, in the offices of some of these people where a dozen, two dozen, three dozen activists show up with an appointment, present this data, film it. Film the reaction of this individual. We did the same to Congressman LaMalfa. In fact, your listeners can search geoengineeringwatch.org confronting a U.S. congressman. I think that's the title of the report. And they could see me confronting Congressman Doug LaMalfa at a town hall meeting on film, on the record. He looks like a deer in the headlights. And that's the kind of ammunition we need to have to hold these people accountable. Back to the crop situation, the absolute consistency with which crops are being targeted, inarguable indication of climate engineering being used as a weapon to control food supplies, thus to control populations. And why wouldn't we expect this when we know those in power understand the planet can't support the populations anymore? This is how serious it is. I know no one wants to hear this, but it is the fact of the matter. The planet's life support systems are failing, and climate engineering is radically accelerating that process and now being used again to target food supplies specifically. This is a fight for life, nothing less. We have to deal with the biggest hole in the bottom of the boat first. And again, from everything, from the air we breathe to the food we need to eat, to the protective atmosphere we need to survive, because we can't grow anything here in California now almost. I mean, you literally are faced with not being able to have a garden, not being able to have fruits on your fruit trees. The UV is so intense, the lack of moisture is so extreme, and the killing of the soil microbiome from the contaminated rain has taken such a tremendous toll that we literally can't produce our own food now. And this is not something that's going to go away when these programs stop. It doesn't just immediately go away. And that's what people need to understand. The severity of the road we are going down can't just be shut off. It's the proverbial crashing through the guardrail, Maria. You know the Thelma and Louise moment. You've seen that scene in the movie, right?
No.
Where they're in their car flying through the air.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, they're flying through the air. I know, yes.
Yes, and that's the human race. Thelma and Louise in that car through the guardrail, and the human race fighting over what station to put the radio on while they're sailing through the air toward the bottom of the canyon. We need to wake the population up, and all of us collectively need to carry this torch forward, and we have no chance. That's a mathematical, statistical fact. And I don't mean centuries out. I don't mean decades out. I would be surprised if by mid-decade, this decade, if there is any semblance left of the current paradigm. That doesn't mean that everybody's gone, but it means that at the point you can't maintain the current paradigm, and we are at that point, it collapses. We cannot have societies without a functional environment, and the environment is imploding. So they can print all the money they want. They can pretend that someday things will go back to normal. It's ludicrous. Once you go through the guardrail, you can put the brakes on all you want. It's a moot point. Will anyone survive the ride to the bottom of the canyon? And that's the position we're in. But I would argue that's not a reason to give up, because if we all work together and we can expose and stop the insanity in our skies, just exposing it, Maria, would cause a shockwave around the world, wouldn't it? If we had populations in every country in the world forced to realize what their governments have done to them, a grand and lethal experiment from which there is no return without their knowledge, without their consent. I would argue if we could accomplish that, and appropriately every single weather cataclysm blamed on climate engineering, even though we've damaged the planet in many other ways, I'm not denying that. But when we have this type of intervention, we have to blame everything on that until that stops. I hope that makes sense. And if we could get this out in the open, we would drag so much to the surface with it. We would cause a shockwave. We would alter the paradigm.
Well, I'll tell you what.
That's worth fighting for.
I'll tell you what, Dane. I've recently had a conversation with a stranger, as is, you know, my regular practice. I just have to try and red pill everyone on the planet.
And me as well. I do the same.
You can't help it, because we just live and breathe this stuff. Well, you also. So he wasn't as open to listening about the truth about the shots, but he was open to listening about the stuff in the skies, because he sees it. He sees it every day. He hasn't seen the ill effects of the injections yet, but he has seen the fact that, gosh, these lines in the skies all the time, our weather's been crazy. You know, it is one way to reach people with the truth, and it's one way to expose the agenda. And the reality is that some days our skies look like tic-tac-toe. It is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And you know this, I'm preaching to the converted here. What you're talking about, and what people who are awake to the agenda must realize is that you are the knowers of this generation. That's what I call the people who are warning right now. You're in that category too, Dane, because we're the people that, you know, are screaming, hey, it's all going down if we don't stop this. And before you know it, the flood comes and everything's destroyed. This, the fact that you're talking about mid-century is interesting because it correlates perfectly with the
not year. Mid-century. Not mid-century. Mid-decade.
Yes, my apologies. Mid-decade. It correlates with the year that they plan on implementing the smart cities here in Australia. They've already planned that for the city of Bathurst. We know we've had the announcement in New South Wales by Premier Dom Perrottet as well that Sydney is going to be part of the six cities network, all this stuff. And of course, within those smart cities, you'll be eating Bill Gates modified meat and fake vegetables, 3D printed meat or whatever it is that they're talking about now, bugs, crickets. It seems, Dane, they already have a backup plan for how they're going to sustain people after they've destroyed all crops and all form of life that we have access to for our daily nutrition.
It's science fiction fantasy. It's never going to happen. They have many agendas. I acknowledge that. But the severity and immediacy of what's unfolding will make those agendas moot points. The arrogance and hubris of those in power, their delusion and their thinking processes that convince themselves that they will somehow be able to tech their way out of what's coming. Again, total delusion. Let's put this in a simple metaphorical example. If you have another, I'll use a car again. If you have a car going 100 miles an hour, 5 feet from impact, it doesn't matter, again, how hard you put the brakes on. You're going to hit, and it's going to be horrific. And that's the position we're in. So all these agendas, and I know there are people participating in these agendas, people within the lower levels of the power structure that perhaps believe that somehow these agendas are going to take place and reach fruition, it's not going to happen. When the planet's life support systems fail, all bets are off. And that is the trajectory we are on in regards to eating insects or so forth, or all these sorts of, again, science fiction proposals. There's not enough insects for the few remaining birds there are to eat, or lizards, or we hardly see insects in Northern California now. At one point in time, even going back 20 years, if you were driving through the agricultural regions down the main corridor through California, you had to go from gas station to gas station to clean your windshield off because there were so many insects on it. No longer. In fact, that's a form of science testing that's actually used, the windshield bug splatter statistics. And just this week was published 80 to 90% decline. And we published that at Geoengineering Watch 10 years ago. Why did it take the climate science community 10 years to catch up to us? The only reason they didn't disclose it sooner is because they were trying to hide it as long as they could. Now they can't. So now they're beginning to disclose what we disclosed 10 years ago. Ozone depletion, we first published in 2014 with a former government scientist we were working with at the time, that the ozone layer was disintegrating, that we were getting UVC in the surface. Our website was taken down 8 times in 3 days. We had to radically upgrade security, and we were able to keep the site up after that. And I think at a certain point, Maria, sadly, those in power realize that no matter how dire the data is, the vast majority of the population will keep their heads rammed in the sand until they can't. So at a certain point, we were allowed to continue with that data. We've had acknowledgement of that. That's an existential threat, by the way, so your listeners understand what's happening to the ozone layer. If the current rate of disintegration continues, we may face functional collapse of the ozone layer in as little as 24 months. It's been hovering at about that level because the rate of disintegration is reached a point where the next step is going to be, again, where we can't grow food. And so it's hard to pin down exactly when that would be because it depends on how many geoengineering operations they do, how much migrating the atmosphere they do. We can't monitor that completely. So we can't pin down dates, but we face, as soon as mid-decade, functional collapse of the ozone layer. That by itself is an existential threat for all of us. And yet, when we have anyone from the science community publish data on this, and we just did, we had a courageous scientist that published it, The majority of the world's population is being exposed to lethal UV radiation, including UVC, that the science community that's bought, sold, and paid for, which is most of them, and mainstream media, did everything they could to marginalize that report and sweep it under the rug as fast as they could. And the population, sadly, is all too willing to have that happen. They want someone to tell them that even though the sun feels like it's burning on their skin, even though there's no insects, even though the weather is completely catastrophic, that everything's fine, it's just nature behaving badly, and everything will be normal soon. We live in an asylum. That needs to change.
Dane really has been at the forefront of raising awareness on geoengineering for decades now. We'll be right back after this short break and a quick word from Magnesium Breakthrough. This broadcast is brought to you by sponsors of the Stu Peters Network, Bioptimizers. Would you like to dramatically improve the quality of your sleep? Are you irritable or anxious? Do you struggle with insomnia? Experience muscle cramps or twitches? There are dozens of symptoms of magnesium deficiency, so these are just a few of the most common. 4 out of 5 Americans are magnesium deficient, and almost everyone is at suboptimal levels. And that's a big problem because magnesium is actually involved in more than 600 biochemical reactions in your body. Now, just taking any magnesium supplement won't solve your problem because most supplements use the cheapest kinds that your body can't actually use or absorb. That's why this broadcast exclusively recommends Magnesium Breakthrough. It's the only full-spectrum magnesium supplement with 7 unique forms of magnesium that your body can actually use and absorb. When you get all 7 critical forms of magnesium, pretty much every function in your body gets upgraded, from your brain to your sleep, pain and inflammation, and, of course, less stress. Visit the link in the description below and enter code MARIA to get 10% off any order and support your body while supporting businesses that keep independent media going and who actually care about your health.
On the mainstream media and their ridiculous lies, you recently published an update that talks about the fact that they're now saying that nuclear war is going to be good for climate change. Would you mind spending a moment just deconstructing that train of thought for us?
Yes. Are they that insane? Yes. And too many individuals try to convince themselves that those in power would never do this to themselves. They already have. They continue to, and they're about to double down. We're not dealing with sanity. We're dealing with desperation, total addiction to power. They will do anything to keep it, including exterminate themselves. So we have members not only of the US government, but of the so-called climate science community trying to paint the picture that if the warming is too accelerated, they may have to create a nuclear exchange to put enough particulate matter in the atmosphere to slow down the warming of the planet. What else will that do? Total disintegration of a hydrological cycle. It would cut the rainfall down to 20% globally, maybe. Rainfall would be completely toxic everywhere. It would immediately destroy what's left of the ozone layer. Here's the bottom line. If any kind of a nuclear exchange occurs now, today, on top of what's already been done with climate engineering operations, it's doing all the same things, or many of the same things a nuclear exchange would do, the atmosphere full of particulates, destroying the ozone layer, disrupting the hydrological cycle. It's just happening in a more slower, insidious fashion than a nuclear exchange, but it's happening. But you put a nuclear exchange on top of that, we're done. Game over. That will be the final nail in our collective coffin. And yet, we have individuals in the US government advocating for it. We have individuals in the climate science community advocating for it. And we have them maneuvering their chess pieces using Ukraine as a premise to trigger just such a scenario.
You're spot on about that. I mean, It's so clear to those that are aware of the agenda what the whole situation in Ukraine is about, and how it's being weaponized in multiple different areas, crashing the economy, mm-hmm. further weather events, climate change agenda, all of that nonsense. I want to ask you about California. Before I have a couple more questions. I want to know about controlling weather from one country from another. But before we do that, I just want to talk about California, because they're experiencing droughts, unprecedented droughts. What's happening over there?
They're simply cutting off the flow of precipitation. Geoengineeringwatch.org first paid for a full-page Northern California newspaper ad in 2008. And everything we said would happen then has happened. We tried to sound the alarm then. We spent over six figures in putting our color glossy two-sided, very high-quality flyers in newspapers throughout Northern California. Some of those have a circulation of 100,000. This is an extremely expensive undertaking, trying to sound the alarm. So we have sown those seeds of awareness. We can only hope they sprout soon. But in regard to what's happening in California, in the agricultural regions, food producing regions, it is absolutely without question a result of climate engineering. We can see it happening on satellite imagery. So again, we're back to this equation that we can speculate on the agendas and objectives, which are certainly nefarious, but the fact that it's occurring from climate engineering is beyond any rational argument. We have an entire so-called climate science community that pretends it isn't happening, down to local meteorologists that pretend it isn't happening, officials that pretend it isn't happening. And here's truly a core part of the issue, Maria. We have a population that pretends it isn't happening. So what I would argue many aware and awake individuals like yourself would feel, and certainly what I feel, seeing what's occurring and knowing how incredibly inarguable and scientifically verifiable it is, and yet not being acknowledged by those in power or by the population, it makes me feel between the hammer and the anvil, between a clinically and criminally insane power structure and a population that is completely asleep at the wheel and all too happy to be so. So we are in a very precarious position. We must awaken the masses with this understanding, because awakening isn't enough. Just to realize something is going on isn't enough. They have to be willing to engage in helping to carry this torch forward. They have to understand that they are literally fighting for their lives right now.
I agree with you on that 100%. In fact, just yesterday I had a conversation with a stranger where I said that exact same thing. And this person, as all of them do, said, what can we do to stop this? And my answer is always the same. It depends on people like you knowing the truth, taking that to others, you know, informing as many people as you possibly can, and then building a community of people that go and say, right, we're going to focus on this, we're going to focus on that. You know, we're going to one person that wakes up five people, those five people go and wake up another five people, but we're seriously running out of time here. That's the problem that we have right now. So there is an urgency. We have to dedicate our lives as much as possible. And I know that some people don't do this full time, you know, that they have to work and feed their families. I understand that. But with every spare minute that we've got, we have to keep the activism going in order to keep up with the speed that the assaults are coming at us. I want to ask you, because I found an article, a posting from a company called WeatherTech that were boasting about rain-making operations that they were doing in Australia from Jordan in 2016 and 2017, if I'm not mistaken. So they were boasting about this like it was a great thing. And don't get me wrong, I'm sure that in some cases, some weather engineers have the best possible intentions at heart. You know, let's fix an area of drought. I'm not saying that every single person working in this industry is sinister, but you certainly can't be okay with the toxins that are in these materials that are being sprayed all over the sky or whatever. I'm presuming as well, and correct me if I'm wrong and forgive my ignorance, Dane, but that the signals that HAARP would be emitting would also be harmful to individuals. So anyway, my whole point is, do we know that, say, a weather event is happening in Australia, could it be from anywhere in the world, and is it HAARP that's doing it, or is it HAARP in conjunction with the spraying?
Again, the ionosphere heater known as HAARP is one of about 100 facilities that can carry out the same function. And there is no way to decipher which signal is coming from where in many cases. And you have hundreds and hundreds more ground-based transmitters that are on a smaller scale, all of their signals overlapping. Yes, hugely harmful to all life forms, period. Aluminum raining down through the atmosphere, we calculate as much as 60 to 70 million tons annually being sprayed. Aluminum is harmful to all life, period. to back up to the activist question, if I can, you gave an example of if one activist tells five and they tell five, let's shrink that back to two. If one activist successfully conveyed the message to two people on the first day of a 30-day month, and those two to two people each the second day, and that carries on for 30 days, that's about 5.5 million. And I know that might seem like my math is wrong. It's not wrong. It's an exponential equation, and that's what people need to consider. That's what they need to think of. I would encourage people to watch the last 5 minutes of the Dimming documentary. And many people didn't see that 5 minutes because there's a intentionally there's a slight gap there. They think the film is over, and it's not. The last 5 minutes is my message. It was actually woven together by the editor from various statements I made on my weekly broadcast over the course of many years, and he somehow wove that all together. But it is the message I've tried to convey so much that any one of us could be the final pebble to trigger the landslide of awareness. And we need to keep that in mind, that we're not helpless. Those in power aren't gods, and we're not helpless. We can absolutely make a difference, but we have to try. And certainly if we're here for a reason, how could that not be the reason? It can't be to hide somewhere, or in the case of, for example, spiritual institutions, and there are far too many doing this, their congregations warming a pew with their backside, pretending that someone's going to come save them. And we were given certain abilities and a sense of reason and logic for a purpose. We need to put those talents to use. Biblical scripture would tell us to do that for those that are in any of the institutions. We're obligated to do our best. If we have children, especially, we don't own our life. We owe it to our children. So the bottom line is we are obligated to try while we are here in whatever way we can. Back to the weather mod from Jordan. I'm familiar with that company. And I want to make this clear that, yes, those individuals may think they're doing something for the greater good, but that couldn't be further from the truth. Let's take a simple premise for cloud seeding, which is absolutely a smokescreen against the background of climate intervention operations, which can make or break 1,000 times over any ground-based small-scale weather mod program. So the weather mod programs that we see are just smoke and mirrors. But simply in theory, when you make it rain somewhere, that rain didn't reach wherever it was going. You are disrupting the climate system. So there is nothing benevolent in any form of cloud seeding. If they caused that rain to precipitate in a place where it wouldn't have otherwise, it didn't get where it was going, which means they robbed that rain from someone else. So any intervention in the planet's weather, climate systems, hydrological cycle is absolutely detrimental. We have the ability to suppress hurricanes, and they're doing it now. Maria, I'm not sure in people in Australia, they might be not thinking about this because they're not here in the US, but we had one landfall hurricane this year, completely detached from all the predictions because they changed the script. They are suppressing cyclonic rotations. And especially in the Gulf of Mexico, they are making sure that nothing comes anywhere near the oil drilling platforms in the Gulf of Mexico. We can see it on satellite imagery. It looks like any circulation is hitting an atmospheric wall, because it is. That's what a high pressure heat dome does. It won't allow anything to enter that space. And that's weather warfare, period. It sounds like a good thing to many people. Well, they're good. They're suppressing the hurricanes. That's the planet trying to cool itself. That's the planet trying to rejuvenate the ozone layer. That's the planet trying to create mixing in the oceans so they don't stratify and create dead zones. We are interfering with the planet's life support systems, and we will all pay the price soon if it continues.
I agree. Just like any type of project or technological advancement or scientific advancement where people believe that they're doing the right thing, but they're actually messing with what God created perfectly, it always ends up being detrimental to mankind and to the planet. Every time.
Absolutely agree. To the core. Medical industrial complex doing the same thing. And what do we have? This mentality that's been bred into and programmed into the entire spectrum of academia, that you just keep teching your way out of your last mistake, layer upon layer upon layer. So what are they doing now? Let me give an example to this sort of insanity. So we know climate engineering is destroying the ozone layer, disrupting upper level wind patterns, which is disrupting ocean currents. In the case of the Northern Hemisphere, we now have Atlantic ocean currents, because they've disrupted, again, wind patterns and ocean currents. We have warmer water pumping into the Arctic, where it should not be. It's melting the ice from below. It's thawing formerly frozen methane hydrate and clathrate deposits. I think we've talked about this before. I encourage your listeners to search Siberian methane craters. You have to see the images to believe them. It's happening on the seafloor on a scale 10 times bigger. Climate engineering is further fueling that process, not mitigating it. So as this methane migrates through the water column, as it thaws and releases from the seabed, which again, that's the Bermuda Triangle scenario. It's been happening for decades. Seabed deposits of methane thaw and release in entirety at once. It aerates the water column like a bottle of champagne. Surface vessels that are above that have no buoyancy. They go to the bottom intact. That's what's been happening. So as this methane migrates into the atmosphere, it starts to cover the planet like a layer of glass, allowing heat in, but not out. It's 120 times more potent than CO2 as a greenhouse gas. So back to the tech question, what's the so-called climate science community doing to tech their way out of that one? Project Lucy and Project Alamo, those are the acronyms for using ground-based microwave transmissions, opposing frequencies to microwave the atmosphere in a desperate and unimaginably destructive attempt to molecularly degrade the methane to stop that heating, which their programs caused to begin with. It's one layer of insanity on top of another, on top of another. Again, this is leading to near-term self-extermination, not just of our species, but of the entire web of life. And Rhea, let's final example. This is like the pharmaceutical treatment, if you will, treat the symptom and cause 50 downstream side effects. And then you need to take 50 more pharmaceuticals for those side effects, which cause another 1,000 side effects. That's the sort of mentality we're dealing with in our skies.
Yes. Yes. It's exactly the same. And while there are some people, again, in the pharmaceutical industry that might think that they're there trying to, you know, doing the right thing, unless you're actually aware of the full agenda, you wouldn't know what it is that you're participating in. You know, some people go to work every day in these industries thinking that they're helping humanity. You're not. And ultimately, it comes back to this, Dane. There's a scripture that says that in the last days that knowledge will increase. And as it does, people will become fools. I'm paraphrasing here. But the more knowledge they get, the more foolish they become. And that's what's happening now is the perfect example of that. And the only remedy to this is for people to humble themselves and realize that we don't have all of the wisdom that's required to control this earth. We should just probably leave that to the one who made it. And immediately, you know, all turn back to that humility of accepting that fact. And the sooner that we do, the sooner we can actually, you know, stop all of this madness. But in the meantime, you know, so this is when people say, what do? We need to educate people. We need to get people involved. And really, we need to turn back to God.
In full agreement with you, and in this regard, most especially, that the human race, the hubris of so many within our species, especially in academia, in thinking that they could intervene in these miraculous and incomprehensibly complex systems without massive downstream catastrophe is total delusion. We don't have a clue. These systems are so complex. The web of life is so complex and so miraculous. We can only scratch the surface of what it is. And any interference in these systems, obviously, where are we? How much is technology helping us? It has literally pushed us over the edge of the abyss. We're in free fall. Now the question is, will anyone survive what's coming? And again, not what's coming centuries out or decades out, mathematically and statistically speaking. I know this will be a hard pill to swallow. Short of a complete course correction, if we remain on the current course right now, mathematically and statistically, it is unlikely that anyone will be left by the end of this decade. And I don't care who rolls their eyes and walks away and pretends that that's completely impossible. They won't feel that way for long. Let's look at the Petri dish equation, if you will, and the human race is in this category that when you put a bacteria in a Petri dish and allow it to reproduce and double in the course of an hour under the right conditions, it can reach half the capacity of that container in 59 minutes. And in the 60th minute, it overflows and they all die. And that's the position we're in. If we, let's put it in another category. If you overlaid the length of the time span that the Earth has existed, 4.5 billion years over the course of a week, every day is 660 million years, something in that range. If we use that as a metaphoric example, we have done the damage we have done to the planet in 1/40th of a second before midnight on the last day. Who could think this could continue? It can't. And it's not just those in power. Again, they are the most guilty. They are the ones that should walk the plank first, but they couldn't do what they have done without the active or passive support of the population. So again, to do nothing, for those that choose to do nothing, and they are legion, that is still a choice. It's a choice to do nothing. And in the words of Edmund Burke, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men and women to do nothing. And too many are doing exactly that, nothing.
Yes, absolutely. And I've called for this many times before. You know, there are a lot of people that watch the content on this network and whatever's posted on zmedia.com that they watch, and they're great supporters and I love them dearly and I'm grateful for them. But many of them are spectators, and it's not good enough just having all this knowledge and keeping it to yourself and not doing anything with it. So I'm forever calling for people to do more. And you're a shining example of that, Dane. I mean, all of the information, all of the research, all of the resources on your website, I'm going to bring it up for everyone again, geoengineeringwatch.org. If this is a particular area where you say, you know what, I have to do something about this, arm yourself with this knowledge, share Dane's website with other people, share this broadcast with other people, talk to people in your community that are awake, your local community, because it's going to start there. And get a movement happening. You know what the agenda is. You know what the key areas they're attacking us with are. And I truly believe that if the masses wake up to this, we can put a stop to this and reclaim our Earth before it is too late. You've heard it from a geoengineering expert who's been researching this for decades. Time is running out. And as difficult as that news is to hear, Dane, I'm grateful that you tell it like it is. I'm grateful that you give people the reality of the situation, because the mainstream scientists and so-called climate experts never will. And you know, just again, thank you for your work.
Thank you, Maria. And if I could add a bit more credence to when I make a statement that on the current trajectory, without a course correction, and how dire our scenario will be by the end of this decade, let me, if I may, put a couple statistics to that.
Of course.
Again, we've lost 80 to 90% of terrestrial and aquatic insect life today. 90% of plankton populations in the Atlantic, based on peer-reviewed study, are gone. 90%. It's crashed. We believe other oceans are in a similar condition. The current rate of species extinction, plant, animal, and insect, is 15,000 times the background rate. That's 1.5% of normal. We're losing 200 to 300 species of plant, animal, and insect to extinction every single day. What's happening now? And we are neck deep in the sixth great mass extinction right now. It is happening hundreds of times faster than previous mass extinctions that had, even so, about a 10 to 20 million year equilibrium period afterwards, 10 to 20 million years for the planet to recover. And what's happening now is happening exponentially faster, which makes it exponentially worse. And what do we see on mainstream TV? What we see here in the US is nothing but nonstop scripted political idiocy, mass distraction, division, polarization to keep the public's attention away from the oncoming train. We need to wake up. We need to wake up now, or we will not have tomorrow. I'm pleading with everybody to understand that you have power. You have much more power than you will ever know. And for every single individual that you wake up, Maria, and you've woken up many, and I am very grateful to you for that. But for everybody listening, for every single individual that you help to wake up, that in and of itself matters in ways we can't know or understand. And so the effort is not in vain, no matter what comes. Doing what's right because it's right will always be right. It's up to all of us. We're the ones we've been waiting for. And I'm grateful to everyone listening and everyone that's standing with us in this battle. And thank you so much, Maria, for your voice in this all-important fight.
Wow, that's so powerful. Doing what's right will always be right. That is really, really powerful, Dane. And I live by that, and I'm grateful for everything that you're doing. God bless you. Everyone that's watching, please share this everywhere so that they know what is really going on and they can get involved. Again, thank you, Dane.
Thank you, Maria.
It can sometimes be overwhelming to face the facts about all of the different attacks that we are facing right now, and I understand that. We're being attacked through the skies, through the medical mafia, through the governments of the world trying to usher in this one world government, attacking our finances, our land ownership. It's coming from every single angle. But I truly believe that being independent as much as you possibly can from the system will assist in removing this fear and also make you not dependent on the globalists or any of their systems for your family's survival. This is why we back and have chosen Survival Supplies Australia, only in Australia, obviously, for all of your survival needs. They have the biggest range of everything that you can think of, from camping and hiking gear if you're going off grid, to emergency and survival supplies, go bags, even Mylar bags if you want to dehydrate and store your own food. This is something I also personally do. First aid and medical supplies, something everyone should have in the event that they need to go other than their usual place of residence, if you know what I mean. Heaven's Harvest for the United States has long-term survival foods, emergency foods. They've also got a new range here. Check it out. And more importantly than anything, I think, is growing your own food where possible. So check out their heirloom seed kits. They have a huge range available on their website. Use promo code Z for 5% off your order. If you're in Australia, head to goldstackers.com.au in the link in the description below. This is the leader of gold and silver bullion and precious metals in Australia. We pick them for a purpose. They have the best customer service and they're available to answer all of your questions. And finally, never ever stop praying. It is wisdom to be prepared, but ultimately we have to depend on God. And whatever direction this world goes in, we have to believe that he will look after his people. And I will never, personally, never lose faith in that. God bless you all. Share this important information everywhere. And I'll see you very soon right here on Uncensored.